Good morning. Welcome to a special meeting of the Cambria Community Service District. This is a meeting to handle one item, and will precede the regular meeting that will occur at 12:30 this afternoon. Let the record show that we have a quorum. One item that is on the issue this morning is an evaluation of the general manager. Prior to us going into closed session to handle that evaluation, we have a public comment period. In order to get to that session, we are going to limit the public comment period to 30 minutes. So what I would ask is the people who have submitted slips to speak to be as brief as possible, and if you're coming up to speak and something has already been stated, just indicating that you agree with the prior speaker is fine, so that as many people can speak as possible. We figure that we're going to need 45 minutes to an hour in the regular session, so what we'll do is we'll go hear public comments until 11:40? Be ready. Richard?
My name is Richard Stacey. I've been a resident of Cambria for 22 years. I just have a short statement I'd like to read. Most Cambrians are content to let you, our elected officials, take care of business unmolested. Sometimes, however, an issue comes along that is so overwhelmingly galvanizing that the public needs to be included in the decision-making process. Today, that issue is the performance of our district's general manager. There has been a long simmering discontent in the community with Tammy Rudick's management style, but the recent firing of Fire Chief Mark Miller has brought us to the point where it is no longer advisable to wait for her contract to expire. I just don't see...
You're cutting into the man's time to speak, so please don't do that.
I just don't see how it's possible to reinstate Chief Miller and retain the services of the general manager. She has made a serious miscalculation in her attempt to gut the fire department. The outpouring of support that you see here today for Mark Miller is also how we as a community feel about our fire department. We don't just want Mark Miller reinstated. We want Corey Ryan, Dexter Upton, and Dennis Clerk reinstated as well. It's time for Ms. Rudock's management style of fear and intimidation to end here, today, right now. If it's money you're looking to save, buying out the district manager's salary will cost the district the same amount whether she stays or goes. My understanding is that Jerry Gruber now manages the water, wastewater, and facilities department. Ms. Rudick manages the fire department. Mr. Gruber is a much more qualified to fill in as the district manager than Tammy Rudock is to fill in as the fire chief, which is what she is doing now. The fact is, we don't need a general manager and an assistant general manager. The time has come to put a stop to the damage Tammy Rudock has done to the morale of our employees and the damage she has inflicted on the image of our community. Her actions reflect poorly on all of us collectively, but especially on our CCSD board members. We urge you to take back the reins of our local government. Thank you.
Paul Beaver, followed by Amanda Rice.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I've been in Cambria since 1983, most of that time involved in emergency services as a... My understanding is that Mark serves at will, as Tammy does to you. So if I understand correctly, she has the right to dismiss Mark. I can't believe that there's any reason to dismiss Mark from what I know of. He's a very competent emergency services person and administrator. He is more importantly, an extremely fine human being, really special. And I can't think of any reason short of a felony to dismiss him suddenly. Now, I recognize she has the right to do that, and I'm asking the board two things. One is to reconsider the possible reinstatement of Mark Miller. And the other is to consider that perhaps in the future it would be better to have some type of disciplinary process to lead up to a firing of such an important individual. Thank you.
Thank you. Amanda Rice, followed by Peter Chilcott.
Good morning. Sorry. Amanda Rice. Good morning, President Clift. I don't know what this extra. Thank you. I'm here this morning to deliver petitions that have been signed. When I walked in the building, there were 236 signatures on the hard copy petitions, and I think I probably added about 20 more just having it be passed around in the last 5 minutes. I also brought the petition that was online. That petition specifically says, "We, the undersigned, call upon you, the Board of Directors of the Cambria Community Services District, to immediately reinstate Mark Miller as the Fire Chief of the Cambria CSD Fire Department." I think that, and this is 410 signatures and all the comments therein. I think that at the very least, having this many signatures, over 600, from the town in under a week and a half, says that the town would like at least an explanation better than personnel confidentiality for firing the chief. So I submit these to you.
Please give them. Peter Chilcott, followed by Casey DeClercq.
Along with several other former board members, I have every confidence in Mr. Rudock. I worked there for between 6 and 8 years, as did my colleagues, and we've always found her to be just. She follows the rules. She has an extensive background in HR. She knows what the pitfalls are, so I have every confidence that what she does will be upheld by you and upheld by the law. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Casey DeClercq, followed by Leslie Seinfeld. Excuse me if I'm missing.
Good morning. Having grown up in our little hamlet with my DeClercq as my last name, I'm well aware of the propensity for small towns to vilify leadership based on gossip. Despite my connection to the Cambria Fire Department, I wasn't ready to jump on the bandwagon without first asking questions. So I asked the questions, did some research, and ended up with the following information. Ms. Rudock's contract states that she may be terminated at any time for good cause for conduct likely to bring discredit or embarrassment to the CCSD. The following could be found in a simple Google search. Tribune article that is now posted on hundreds of websites across the nation discussing the unprecedented and unwarranted firing of Chief Miller. A KSBY video including the now infamous quote, "Well, I guess it depends, Nancy. Do you want to turn on your water and not get sick?" Articles in the Cambrian, the New Times, and on KCOY, all showing Ms. Rudock in a bad light. When discussing Ms. Rudock's past employment, an editorial in the Tribune discussed what it would feel like to be a Cambria taxpayer who was on the hook for paying an almost $250,000 annual salary to someone who is rude to the public she serves. Ms. Rudock's contract also states that she may be terminated for good cause for failure to perform her duty in a professional and responsible manner consistent with generally accepted standards of the profession. Let's start with the arrogance of assuming that she can take the place of the fire chief, not only in an administrative role, but as the fire marshal. Did Ms. Rudock attend the fire academy and then take the 14 extra classes that, combined with years of experience, are required to be certified as a fire marshal? At a manager's meeting, when questioned about denying access to CCSD email accounts from home with no notice and its negative effect on productivity, she stated, "The way I've been treated around here, I don't want you being productive." Her unprofessional attitude toward the fire department has been evident since the beginning of her tenure when she stated, "Things are going to change for you prima donnas up on the hill." Chief Miller has brought energy and direction to the fire department. He has worked diligently on her basis. Documentation shows that Ms. Rudock denied the request in her typical fashion, with blatantly false statements and then lies to cover it up. I now ask members of the community who would like to see her contract terminated immediately to please stand. If you aren't... If you aren't embarrassed, you should be. If you aren't outraged, you should be. If you aren't ready to end the reign of Tammy, you should be. Because here truly is a situation that if you aren't part of the solution, then you are the problem. Thank you.
The name is Zeifert. My name is Leslie Zeifert. I'm a 12-year resident of Cambria. I am a realist. Ms. Ruddick has lost the mandate of the citizens. You have gridlock. For the next 12 months, anybody who wants to get elected to this board is going to be judged on how they respond to anything Ms. Ruddick says or does. We have seen that occurring in Washington right now. We cannot afford 12 months of gridlock. It will be a litmus test to see who was most vehement in their opposition. We need to move on. Everybody is talking about let's fire her. That's silly. The only thing that does is it generates $100,000 from some lawyers, and ultimately she will prevail. She will be paid. She is a lame duck right now. Her policies have made her a dead duck. Pay her off, thank her, give her a gold watch, and take the one good suggestion she had, go to Cal Fire, and contract with them to find a new general manager. Thank you.
Yes, you can. The lawyers will cost you more.
Ron Crumpen, followed by Dennis DeClercq.
Good morning, Ron Crumpen from Cambria. The one gentleman said, I thought very nicely, that I don't feel comfortable with knowing all the facts. And to try to make a decision without knowing all the facts is kind of tough. But you do know some facts that were done. It seems like the manager's decision, from what we know.
Mr. Chairman, mine is for the
other? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Art Chapman, followed by Tina Dickerson.
Good afternoon, Board President and members of the board. My name is Art Chapman. I'm a Camarillo resident. I'm a former HR administrator in the public sector and a current San Luis Obispo County Civil Service Commissioner. And I have experience with managers who make decisions for personal reasons rather than because of issues of competent performance, and those decisions usually turned out badly for everybody involved. CCSD is a small organization, and your board should have final decision-making authority over hiring and firing of at-will employees made by the general manager. Your board has fiduciary responsibility and accountability to the community. Hiring and firing of senior managers are expensive decisions and can have important consequences. For example, the firing of Chief Miller, if not warranted because of performance reasons, unnecessarily jeopardizes your ability to consider combining the health district employees with CCSD employees for purposes of improving service and reducing expenses. Therefore, I would recommend to you, if I were your HR administrator, that you seriously consider taking back final oversight authority to hire or fire senior managers from the general manager. And secondly, recommend that you revisit Chief Miller's firing, and if decision was not due to job performance, then he should be reinstated. Thank you.
Tina Dickerson.
Good morning, Board. Tina Dickerson, Cambria. It's amazing to me that we've come to this point today when two of the current board members assured me back in January of 2008 when they came on the board that Ms. Rudock's days were numbered. Why are we now, 2.5 years later, looking at an issue that should have been dealt with at that time? President Clift, And Director D'Amico, both of you told me that within a matter of 2 to 3 months, the general manager would no longer be general manager. And if they ever need to be brought up in a court case, I will be the first one to step up to the plate. So I would say you guys have got to deal with your bylaws. This is unbelievable. And I'm sure that you're agreeing probably at this point with me, I hope, and with much of the community. But Ms. Rudock is someone I'm sorry. I just feel that we've put up with too much for too long, paid out way too much, and it has to stop. Thank you.
I have no more requests to speak. You took me at my word. I think so. I will allow some time here. If you will just come up and come to the board, come to the table there, and give your name.
Hi, my name's Lisa Tansman. I am a resident of Cambria. I recently rebuilt a house that took 3 years. Chief Miller was a wonderful help in that process. Due to the enlargement, we had to put fire sprinklers in, and he made the process as easy as possible for us, never taking things longer than they should take, responding quickly. I'd like to make a motion that Tammy Rudock get fired immediately, and that Mark Chief Miller get reinstated immediately. Do I get a second from anybody? Thank you.
Would anyone else like to?
Ladies first.
Ladies first.
Mary Webb, I had no idea that there would be so few people speaking that I'd actually have an opportunity. I also helped with the last Proposition 218 protest against water and sewer rate increases, and experienced the same things Tina Dickinson was talking about with just unbelievable things happened with this general manager in the vote count for that process. Names were thrown out. Over 600 protests were thrown out because of miscompared signatures or faulty addresses, all kinds of different reasons. No one was giving the voters of Cambria the benefit of the doubt back then. And so at this point, I don't think we should be giving Tammy Rudock the benefit of the doubt either. Thank you.
Thank you.
Personalities, but make it about the issue of public safety in this community. The fire services here are so critical that they can't be messed with, particularly when you have the ability to bring a chief here who has the kind of reputation among his peers and his fellow workers and his subordinates. When the push comes to shove, and it will someday, you're going to wish you had a man out there on the line that had that command and control and unity it takes. We've been spared for a long time, but we're in a forested area, and this is a tinderbox. And while I never worked for the fire service, I worked with firemen frequently. And I have to tell you, gentlemen, that it's a rare opportunity that a small community like this gets a man of the caliber of the chief. I've never met him until I shook his hand outside the door this morning. But I'll tell you, the Professional Association of Fire Chiefs, who do not get involved in political or personnel matters, and they are all management people. These are top managers in the fire service. They have come out in strong support. It was their article in the Cambrian that brought me into the picture. I was happy to be retired and had committed myself to becoming a local character. And that will continue. But this is an important issue. And the community that's here, there are biases on both sides, but this is not a personality matter. It's a personnel matter, and someone may have overstepped their authority, their bounds, or whatever, because I don't know what the issue is, The fact that the chief isn't behind bars leads me to believe that it couldn't have been anything too traumatic.
Thank you. I have a request to speak from Greg Burge. Is Greg Burge?
Go.
No, he can come in. Go ahead. But I'll let Greg Burge come in second.
All right, I'll be very fast. Sir John Bide, I've been here quite a while, and I have worked with Tammy in the past. I know some good, there's some very bad. I am in agreement with being able to do away with Tammy Ruduck and also rehire. Is rehired Chief Miller. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Mike Broadhurst, and I've had the privilege of living here for 10 years. I don't know either Ms. Ruduck or Chief Miller personally, but I did live through the devastation of the Oakland fire 20 years ago. I had friends who lost homes at that time. The only thing I can encourage the board to do is keep in the very forefront of your view through this matter, fire protection in Cambria. That is the important issue here in my mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I think he was in line ahead of you there.
Hello, I'm Daryl Cooper. I do not live in Cambria. I live in Paso Robles, but I am a personal friend of Mark Miller's. I'm proud to call him a good friend of mine. I'm retired from the fire service from the Central Valley. I was there for 31 years, and I have never seen a community come to the support of a fire professional as what Cambria has done. From my perspective, this issue is either political or personal. And I know Mark is a man of integrity, and he's a fine professional. Cambria is very, very lucky community to have him here to spend his time. He's brought a great deal of safety. He's worked in difficult community relations between different entities. He's brought a great deal of improvement to the community and safety. It's unfortunate that it has come to this type of a situation here in Cambria. It's not good for anybody. And short of some sort of a felony, of which I know did not occur, there's no reason for him to be in this position. So you gentlemen are in a position of doing the right thing. Thank you.
Good morning, board members. My name is Greg Burge. I haven't had the opportunity to address you before. But I want to let you know today that I had the opportunity to meet with the county yesterday regarding PSU 3 submittals to Tammy Ruduck, who refused to respond to them. And I discussed it with the county as to how many that we submitted. And Matt Jensen at the county, along with John Hofshire, who was in the meeting, that was the first time I've seen fear in their eyes for Tammy's failure to do something, because that's due process under coastal development permits, in which she blew us off. Now, that said, I just got off the phone with David Licari at the State Regional Water Control Board, and he's agreed to accept our formal complaint against the Community Services District in regards to their failure to allow us to hook up to the existing sewer system. What I've submitted to Kathy Choate is the county code relating to the Central Basin Plan that says, in a community urban area where an existing sewer exists, we are not allowed to have a septic system. Now, I asked this district numerous times for application to permit and connect to the sewer system under the assessment districts, with no response from Tammy Ruduck, no response from the board, no appeal from the board. It's all on file. We have retained counsel. At the same time, what's interesting is you've got the state board in a very bad position, because under the Central Basin Plan, they now have to determine what happens when it doesn't exist. The answer is it does exist. So they have to determine if they'll allow us to have septic systems now. Unbelievable position to put the state in, because now someone's going to be liable for these assessment districts. We've been telling the board this for years. The board is our friend now, and we're going to get to a formal investigation as to why service is being denied under the assessment districts for sewer. When I asked Tammy Ruddick, and I'm going to turn to you folks, when I asked her to collect When I asked to connect the sewer, I hear the same answer. We have no water. When I ask it again, we have no water. Well, we're going to finally get to the answer. Thank you, State Regional Water Control Board. They're going to now do the investigation. And it's great for this community because we can maybe get building again.
Thank you.
Lucky to have him. I feel very frustrated by Ms. Ruddick's coming in here and creating a just an undertone within the CCSD and the fire department and the community of self-righteousness that is difficult to address, because a lot of it is, like I said, undercurrent, and it's unprofessional, and it doesn't work well to keep this community cohesive and moving forward. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Rich DeVega, and 2.5 years ago, I made the decision to run for a CCSD director. At that time, I had the opportunity to meet with many of you and with the then current board members. And at that time, I was assured by all of them, by most of them, by a voting majority of them, that they shared my opinion that 91 days after the swearing in of the CCSD directors elected in that election, that the general manager would be replaced. That is what is allowed under the contract. There is no need for a finding of she's at will. She can be the contract can be terminated without cause. A finding of cause is not required. Because a finding of cause is not required, there's no cause of action for the manager. If you make the decision to make a change of horses midstream, you have the power to do that. And quite honestly, I don't understand why it didn't happen as allowed for under the contract after the last election. Nevertheless, that's where we are today. And you guys are supposed to represent the community. You guys, some of you on the board now and people who were there before, said that they were going to correct the things that were going wrong. Well, they didn't get corrected, and that's where we are today. So I hope that you will reconsider Ms. Rudock's employment, make the decisions allowed for under the contract. And if you don't do that, I think this community is going to be taking a hard look at whether the board represents its interests. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Wayne Gracie. I've been a contractor in Cambria for 30 years, and I'm here to help. What I have experienced with him and all the contractors that I know in town, we urge you to reinstate Chief Miller and take action against Ms. Ruddock. Thank you.
We're going to take three more, and then we're going to have to cut off the deal. So go right ahead.
My name is Elaine Mermelstein. I'm a resident of Cambria for the past 12 years. I haven't had any interactions with Tammy other than emailed her to try and get direction on a neighbor who was doing some illegal stuff. No response. I had to go through the county to deal with it. I've had many interactions with Chief Miller that have been terrific. Besides 2.5 years of building, the process before that, I acted as general contractor on this, full of information, and then during the building, just guidance and inspections, reports, everything as timely as could be. He's a great asset to our community, and it would be a great loss not to rehire him.
Thank you.
My name's Jerry Demarest. I've only lived here for maybe 5 years, and that's been enough time to realize that there's a very big disconnect between the CCSD and this community. I feel like the spatial district is like an island, and we're like the land, and we're not communicating with each other. We don't even feel close. We don't feel well represented. And I even thought about in the recent publication of Bell, yeah, that I would even I've considered writing a letter to the, or a request to the state controller's office to audit this spatial district. There is a lack of a real lack of communication between the CCSD and the populace here, and it appears that the district is being ultra defensive. There's such a lack of transparency and a lack of a warm feeling of representation between the two of us. And that shouldn't be for this community, because this is paradise here.
Generally represent not only my own, but my dad's comments. Jim Buckley, he's been a resident here for a few more years than I have. I'm also very involved with the Pewterplow Playhouse, and my comments generally reflect most of our Playhouse volunteers. I stand here in support of Chief Miller. This is a special meeting as for the status of the general manager, but obviously the situation with Chief Miller is, and the general manager is inextricably linked. As a community member, I have personally worked as a community member with Mark Miller. I have found Mark to be professional, fair, extremely personable, and most uniquely, he is, as has been reflected by all of these comments, he's committed to implementing fire prevention measures in our town in a reasonable and practical way, and in doing so, working with community members and building good relationships with community members. Accomplishments. He has advanced fire protection in our town, created an evacuation plan, built up a large number of grants, and in a very short period of time being in Cambria, he's created these accomplishments and built up these wonderful relationships with Cambrians that one can see the outpouring today is reflective of that. The action with respect to Mark and the general manager, by all indications, has been an improper action. And Mark's status has been maligned and made a scapegoat, essentially becoming a, it's been a bum rap, as Art Van Rijn's cartoon in the Cambrian this past week. He's been dealt with in an obviously underhanded fashion for reasons that have not directly to do with him, obviously some budgetary and management issues. But suffice to say, it has been extremely poorly handled by the general manager and been brought a discredit to Cambria. So I stand here today to urge you to reverse the action of the general manager and to take steps in a legal...
So if you need to get lunch or something like that, feel free to do that. Let me say thank you. You're a very supportive audience, and you've made your point, and you've done it in a very professional and Cambrian-like manner. And so I thank you for the way you have behaved today, and very pleased. We have some tough decisions to make, and we will go into closed session now and see if we can come up to those. What?
Good to have one?
No. We wanted to have a grand entrance for Mike. The board, will call us back into open session. The board met in closed session to evaluate general manager's performance. I'm going to read a statement. There is nothing to report from the closed session. We will be scheduling another closed session, 5 p.m. Friday, here at the Vets Hall, with the following agenda description: public employee discipline, dismissal, release. That will be the meeting tomorrow at 5 p.m. here at the Vets Hall. And that's all the report from closed session. Now we're going to. Do I need a motion to, Mr. Counsel? Do I need a motion? Let the record show that there is all board members are present. We've already provided the report from closed session. So, did we have a previous closed session, Mr. Carmel? That we need.
We did. There's nothing to report from those closed sessions at the last meeting.
Okay. I'm going to go to item two for the sheriff's report. Senior Deputy Todd Steed, are you Bill? There you go.
Good afternoon. Senior Deputy Todd Steed with the Sheriff's Office. I've been to a lot of meetings, but I've never seen anybody come for my report this many people, so appreciate you showing up for my report.
There you go.
For the month of March, the Sheriff's Department handled 205 calls for service in the Cambria area. We had four family disturbances. Two of those were domestic violence. One DUI report. A lot of audible alarms back during the windstorms, doors rattling, people leaving windows open, motion alarms, things like that. And then the only really significant thing is that we had a burglary ring that we broke up. Some deputies broke up in San Simeon last week. They had been taking items from Walmart, items like that. They ended up at a local motel in San Simeon, and the deputies were able to put that case in front of the district attorneys and recovered the stolen items from those stores. So, is there anything else I can answer, public board?
Any questions?
What about the landscapers?
Landscaping is still under investigation. About every year and a half or 2 years, we get these rings that come out of Los Angeles or Bakersfield. I've left seven rusty shovels in my front yard. They won't take them. I'm not sure why they're hit. I live on the same street as one of the areas that got hit, so I don't know why they're not taking my stuff, but they seem to be going after some of the high-end items. So, but the Sheriff's Department, the detectives have that case. So, any other questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Item three is acknowledgments and presentations, and an update.
The audience and the tenor is a little bit different than I had hoped it would be as I was to give this presentation. As I stood in the back of the room, I honestly considered not giving the presentation in such a hostile room because I don't want animosity towards my topic to be carried over from just the lack of oxygen in the room. Nonetheless, here I stand, still trying to do what I've been trying to do for a number of years in regards to playing fields. We've been directed as the PROS Commission to work with the school system and the school board in trying to find a way to enhance active recreations for the kids in town. So we have been meeting with the school district in a group setting, and we've decided to apply for grant funding from 84 Proposition, which was a number of years ago. There is $185 million waiting to be distributed to communities in November for the building of community parks. And so what we've decided to do is to enter into joint agency, or what we haven't decided, the discussion is joint agency with the school district, with the CCSD, to replace and rebuild the fields up at the junior high. That is a real issue. The junior high fields have been lacking for a number of years, and the school district's been looking for ways to do it. They can't do it without the PROS agency in their grant application for the 84 funding. So here we sit working together, trying to put the pieces to this puzzle together rather quickly. And so we believe that this process that we're going through right now is going to take place in the next 6 weeks. We have meetings that are going on. There's surveys out in the foyer. There's maps out there that show the property. And we're really just looking for community response back to us as to what they want to see there, what their ideas of use are, and just how it's going. Basically, what we're working on now is how the two agencies are going to blend, how we're going to finance maintenance, how we're going to come up with rules and scheduling, and all those little pieces of minutia that are so hard to put together. I will tell you, we've been working real close with the school district, and it's been a good relationship so far. So I could belabor the point, but I won't. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I'm available all the time, and be happy to give a presentation to your group, whatever it may be, pros or cons. I know there's a lot of not negative sentiment out there. There's just some concerns about a lot of good issues, and I love the discussion, and I'm not afraid of it. So welcome to have it, and we should do it at a different time.
Giving us some well-needed assistance in that. And I also want to point out that after hours, the field will be available to the community. So this is not just a program for the middle school, but that we would also have fields for other young people and for adults to play on. And hopefully we'll be successful.
Director DeMinko.
Steve, question. The grant, while there's a lot of money there, do you know the relative percentage of a grant having to do with, let's say, the general construction or reconstruction cost might be? Are they? Is it 100% of what might be occurring, 80%? I mean, are we going to need matching?
Say that. No, there's no matching funds.
Okay.
There's no matching funds.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. And then maintenance, while there will be maintenance in the future,
well,
it would be nice if there was maintenance on what we have already. So I don't know that that's an incrementally added money that
anyway. Yeah, and that's why I'm comfortable with this, even though I'm uncomfortable spending money at any level in our world right now. But there's an apparatus in place to maintain those fields with the school districts, and it's a lot less stress on the community should we have to take it on as a parks department. And so we see that as a real good safety net for making sure that they don't open up some new park and then it can't be taken care of, because the school district is providing that net. And I want to say this again, that this district and the school district have worked before on some very key issues, and that tennis courts as they exist out there are a wonderful example of how joint agency works between two districts, sharing property, sharing facilities, and both of the demographics, the children and the tennis players, working hand in hand to share something when we really don't need two separate facilities. So, yeah.
I really did want to give you the opportunity to make your proposal while there were so many people here.
Yeah,
because
perfect.
There is information out there on the table. They're asking for your input. This is an opportunity for you as a citizen to help out the PROS Commission, and please take advantage of that.
And there's obviously not enough copies back there for what is here today, but there's copies at the district office. There's copy at all the school sites, and so you can get that. And you can also talk to me, and I'll probably have some more in the next 24 hours. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, there's a question in the back. Was there a question?
I was wondering.
That's beyond me at this point right now.
Spaces as established by the CCSD, it was supposed to be self-supporting. So far as I can see, the only support that the Park Recreation and Outdoor Services has received has been from property taxes of the taxpayer. Now we're going to undertake another project which is going to be a burden on the taxpayers, because if there's maintenance to be done, is going to be done either by the school district or by the CCSD or both. Either way we cut the cake, Cambria taxpayers are going to pay for it. Now, there are many things that our monies are being used for. We have property management and facilities as a budgeted section in the CCSD, which takes care of the Fiscalini Ranch, which also includes an area of the old rodeo grounds, which from my recollection was purchased with money donated by the county in order to put in a park. Now that project seems to be on the drawing board somewhere or forgotten, one of the two. But the CCSD had an obligation at one time to build a park down where the rodeo grounds are. Now if we're going to take CCSD money to use it on maintenance on school property, I'm just questioning whether it's going in the right direction. There's a difference between wanting and needing. And I think we need to meet our obligations first before we fulfill a want. The parks that we would put down on the rodeo grounds would serve the community just as well as a park behind the school. If it's on school grounds and the management of the property is such that there are gopher holes and other traps to cause children to fall, then that's the school district's responsibility, not the CCSD responsibility. So I would hope that you would give great consideration as to which direction our property taxes go. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I'd like to have approval to move item 9 in a professional service agreement on an interim basis. Madam General Manager, do you have a report on it?
Yes, so this is the item to talk about what type of management options you want to consider for the CCSD Fire Department. I put in the fiscal impact section the budgeted numbers for fiscal year 2010 and 2011 for the fire chief position and recommend that whatever direction you might have, whether it be a professional services agreement with CAL FIRE and or a professional services agreement or employment agreement with an individual, that it be at a not to exceed amount of these budgeted figures. I know the 11-12 budget hasn't been approved, but these are right now the projected figures for 11-12.
Any questions of the general manager? If not, we have several requests to speak. Again, let me ask that you hold your comments to 3 minutes. And the first request is Elaine Mermelstein.
Let's give it another try.
Mermelstein? Okay.
It's a triple word score in Scrabble. I'm Elaine Mermelstein. It's okay.
I'm very bad with names.
Okay.
Excuse me, and
then
I'll
butchered.
Accept any rebuke that you feel is appropriate.
It's okay. It's been butchered worse. Obviously, I spoke earlier, and I probably got ahead of myself because I know the earlier part was about Tammy's performance and whether or not she should be fired, which a lot of us think yes. And this is about Chief Miller, and again, I just think that he is a huge asset to our community and should be reinstated and has done a great job for us here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I have one here from Mary Webb. Did you want to speak on this issue, Mary, or was that on the previous? Okay, thank you. Greg Bates.
Oh, I thought I was going to have to speak even louder. Comforting to have their Station 10 here on Weymouth. However, we have only one way in and out of this community up here, and it's 46 and up 1. CAL FIRE is a very responsible, very admired department throughout the state. However, they cannot provide the level of services that we need here in our community. We have to have a constant staff of professional firefighters here all the time. We cannot wait for somebody from Cayucas or Morro Bay to come up here and bail us out. If you contract with CAL FIRE, they will have an engine company here, depending on what kind of contract you write with them. It will not be a guaranteed level of service because they are a state agency who has to run all over the state. If this is a critical coverage station, my experience in the past has been that they can still pull an engine out and we can wait for somebody to come to backfill behind them. I would urge you to keep our fire department, keep it staffed appropriately with 3-0 minimum staffing, and keep the captain, engineer, and firefighter ranks, and keep a real in-department fire chief. However you decide to do it, I would encourage you to get to contract with a fire chief, and I would also like to recommend that be Mark Miller. Thank you.
Amanda Rice, and followed by Terry Farrell.
Thank you, President Clift. Two-thirds of this town, more than once, has voted themselves additional tax assessments to get additional ambulance coverage and for additional fire money for fire prevention, not fires. Two-thirds of this town is a lot of people. It's hard to get one of those tax assessments passed. I have a feeling if this board ignores those mandates and farms this out to CAL FIRE, the town may find a way to replace you guys. $196,000 for annual compensation for 10-11, even including all the if that includes all the things that you would have to pay, that seems rather high. And for the services that would be provided, who will be the fire marshal? Because right now Chief Miller provides that also. I spoke with Erlen Singewald, who is a county planner, because I wanted to ask him about it's a requirement that you have a fire protection review of your plans when you're doing any kind of project, that you have to get a permit from the county. So I asked him if he knew anything about folks, what was happening with their permits getting approved and having their fire protections plans. And he said, well, he only has had one person so far that's come through, and that person had been directed, had told him that they were directed to CAL FIRE to get that done. But he said the county hadn't been notified about any change in the authority of the fire protection reviews of those plans. Those are the comments that I have, and I think that Chief Miller is the example of a leader for this community that helps people work together instead of dividing people, and I think that's an asset that we really can use and don't want to lose. Thank you.
Thank you. Terry Farrell, followed by Mike Broadhurst.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. It's difficult to follow Amanda Rice's comprehensive remarks. I agree with everything that she said. Also, with regards to a comment that the chairman made earlier, I will try not to be redundant and repeat everything that you've read and heard. Just know that I support everything positive about Chief Miller. Until recently, we had an ideal fire department in this community, and removing Chief Miller from that leadership position is devastating. But there's more. I'm here for one reason today, and the reason I'm here today is to support Chief Miller. And I will skip all these things that I've listed about why he should still be our leader and why I support him. So diddle on all the good stuff. There's one item here in red. Chief Miller leads by example. I have followed men like him when I was in the Marine Corps. I know what that means. He earned the respect. Happened here, a gross wrong has been done to a very good, honest, capable man, and I'm looking to our board of directors to make that right. We need to fix this. And I know you have your legal complications and all your considerations. What he really needs is he needs to be reinstated, rehired, and he needs an apology. He needs for us to say, he needs for us to say we're sorry. I hope that the board is able to hasten his return and that this doesn't get overly complicated. I think he wants to come back. We want him back. Please fix this for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike?
I made my comment this morning.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Tina Dickerson? That's followed by William Walker.
Good afternoon, Board. Tina Dickerson, Cambria. I think I'm a little bit confused as to why we're even discussing 9B today when tomorrow you're having another closed session meeting, which we will not know the results of until after 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock tomorrow. So as I see it right now, the general manager is our interim fire chief, if I'm not mistaken. That's what I've read. And just a minute. And so I'm wondering why we don't have a captain who can be our interim fire chief, who has the knowledge and experience. Why are we even talking about this right now? There's an emergency situation. The GM is not the person to be taking over as fire chief, if that is the case right now. But we certainly don't have an answer to why we all showed up here at 11 o'clock. That's been put off till tomorrow. So why is this being dealt with? Why not put this off till tomorrow until we have, hopefully, an answer from the board as to what's happening? Because I still don't see how you're going to be able to resolve this today. Thank you.
Thank you. William Walker, followed by Lisa Tasman.
Good afternoon. I'm William Walker. I've been Cambria resident for 10 years. 8 of those years have been a reserve firefighter of Cambria Fire. I'm speaking on behalf of the Firefighters Association.
Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa Tansman. When I spoke before and made the motion that we reinstate Chief Miller and dismiss Ruduck, and everyone seconded that, I believe. Why is it that we can't go ahead and vote on that is one question. And the second is, why would we, meaning you guys, hire someone who was already run out of Coalinga to be the general manager of Cambria, meaning Ruduck? Are you not allowed to answer me? Or am I just supposed to make statements?
Yeah.
Okay. So my statement is, I propose that we vote now on reinstating Chief Miller. Does anyone second that? Is there anything in the bylaws that says we can't do that?
That's not at a the options that are here are to discuss what options we can take. We're just taking public comment on that.
Okay, so my public comment, and I think I speak for the majority of this room behind me, is that Chief Miller gets reinstated with a huge apology from you, the board, and that Ruddock gets run out of Cambria as she got run out of Coalinga. Thank you.
Michael Gallagher.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Just for clarification, William Walker represented the Reserve Association of the Firefighters, and I represent the Cambria Professional Firefighters Association, Local 4635. Much has been asked of us about Chief Miller over the last 2 weeks. At this point, it's appropriate only to say that we've enjoyed a very positive working relationship with Chief Miller and appreciate his work to move the fire department forward. The Cambria Professional Firefighters have unanimously voted that we have full confidence in Mark Miller as fire chief. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any other requests to speak on this. Did I misplace it? Come on up, Ness.
And the direction that this community has obviously given to you is to rehire Mark Miller as soon as you can. I understand, and I know it's very confusing, government and agendas. So we understand that you can't take that action today. But there is nothing that say you can't call for a special meeting, as you have called for special closed session meetings, in which you could hire Chief Miller relatively quickly. The issue of consolidation with the health care, which may cloud this issue, is really not an issue we need to be talking about now. Had Chief Miller not had been part of this debacle that has been brought upon this community, he would have been the fire chief. And you would have dealt with those decisions with him as the fire chief. So deal with those decisions in the future when he is the fire chief. And it is obvious to me, after what I've heard from the healthcare in my investigations, that they're really not ready for any consolidations at this time. So, with that in mind, you have a resolution in front of you today. My advice is table it, defeat it, do something, but do not pass it. Because you don't need to be spending that kind of money when you have a perfectly capable fire chief sitting right here before you today. You know, I think it is rather obvious to everybody, not only in this room, but in my talking with people in this community, there is one correct action for this board to take. And it is important that you take that action, and you know what the actions are. I don't have to stand here and tell you. The community has spoken to you. So I would suggest you rehire Chief Miller as fast as possible so that we can put this behind us and we can move on as a community, because in my 35 years, this is a rarity in one of your meetings, and you know it. And this community has come together for one purpose, and that's to bring Chief Miller back on. Let me close by saying, in the interim, while you're setting up special meetings and everything else, I'll be glad to volunteer to take that position.
We promoted the first fire assessment back in the early 90s due to monies being pulled from the state, being taken away from the services district. And it's real evident today that you get the support of the community that supports the local fire department. It takes a two-thirds majority vote, as you all know, to have these special assessments put on the tax rolls. The community supported that overwhelmingly, and then again a few years ago when it had to be reenacted because we had to have a sunset clause. At that time, the fire department didn't get any CCSD monies. It was done on our own. There was no money spent on a consultant like so many other projects that are done in this community. In the community, it's evident. You know, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. There are people that are out working and can't attend this meeting today, or else it'd be standing room only, and you'd have to probably move the meeting to a larger facility. But I'm up here to say that I support Chief Miller. I didn't have the pleasure to work with him because he came here after I retired. And I think it's time that you can do a wrong and make it right by hiring Chief Miller back. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have any other requests. Is there someone I've missed?
Good afternoon. My name is Pat Child, 22-year resident of Cambria. I was promised a couple years ago hope and change on a national level, and I'm still looking for that. So in the meantime, I'd look for a little hope and change at a local level. I'd like our district office back open 8 to 5, 5 days a week. I'd like Chief Miller back in charge. And I'd like Tammy Ruddock gone and replaced. Thank you.
Any additional comments on this issue? If not, then I'll bring it back to the board. Comments, gentlemen?
John Campbell.
What? come on up. Sorry, didn't catch you in time.
Your fire department with the chief. And over the years, I've worked with all of the chiefs. I am very pleased in the method that is used to select a chief as the years go, and every one of them I've gotten along with and was qualified. And today, we have Chief Miller. He is, in my opinion, the best you can find. And I'm here to support him, and so are they. Thank you very much.
Was that a hand or come on up? get it up.
All right, very good. John Byatt again. there's one thing that I forgot to say that I understand from your board, from you people, it'll cost us $250,000 to be able to pay off with Tammy to quit now. And if that was the agreement, that is okay. I'm willing to be the first one to contribute. Thank you.
All right, let's bring it back to the board for discussion. Any comments? Any of the directors? Alan?
I might just start by saying that I had an outstanding relationship with the chief as we did a major remodel. And some of the things that came down from Sacramento were unrealistic. And in the eyes of the contractors, they were untenable. And I think what he demonstrated was a great deal of logic. And his comments, I know to my wife and I, was I'm not going to keep you out of your home. And in doing so, he didn't violate any law, but he, in fact, did an excellent job of getting us in our home. And I can see the love that this gentleman has gotten from the community, and I understand it. This is a true, honest guy. What you did from a business standpoint, that many times there's a knowledge base, a capability base, and then there's a relationship base that an organization has between administrators, between management, and there are two sides. We have the position of the general manager, and then we have the position of the chief. And I think I would suggest, at least to start the discussion, that we would have a period of time where we listen to both sides intently and make an informed decision that is the best for this community and that basically is accepted by the majority of the ratepayers. So from my standpoint, I do think there's an opportunity here for a short period of time that we would use the CAL FIRE for a temporary chief position. I don't know what that content. I don't know what that content is, but the outcome, in fact, would be based on facts. It would be based on what really has happened, and it may, in fact, comply exactly in what this board, this majority of the folks here. You aren't the total majority of Cambria, but we hear you, and we need to have a period of time where we see both sides and then make it to it. This is exactly what will be discussed.
Why don't we know that now? You say you're both sides, but you don't give us any.
14 days. Hold on.
My suggestion is that we table this item. I'm not sure that I see the need for it at this point. My position with respect to the fire department is that I'm totally opposed to turning it over to CAL FIRE, and we need to move forthwith, but I don't know that we need to move at this point.
Director DeMago?
Yes, well, I guess I'm misunderstanding what I understand what provided to us from CAL FIRE at this point. So we have that step's taken, and he's, I would expect, the professional that is able to carry out the duties of a fire chief. The question becomes is, and I think that's where Director McKinnon was going, is that no matter what anyone's position is and no matter what the ultimate outcome is, and I know what people would like to do today, but it's not going to happen today. We have a contract's been terminated. The gentleman has every right to his due process, which I understand he's taken, which is the right thing to do. Legal counsel's talking to legal counsel. So we're not talking about moments. I don't believe that, in my mind, this can all be worked out in days or maybe even a week or two. But the fact is that we do have a fire department, and the clamor is, and it's rightly so, we want a functioning fire department, and therefore we need a chief. And we're not looking to go out. Nobody's putting out a thing to go think about, you know, finding, quote, a new chief long term. It's we have an interim agreement. Somebody's got to be there with the professionalism and oversight and maybe coordination in the event of any issue with CAL FIRE. And CAL FIRE at this point is been engaged, or at least has taken on a responsibility, and I think it's got to be memorialized. So whether we want, and if anybody wants to put wording on it in that such, and if it's not in here anyway, that this is a temporary interim, and I don't know if we need a I think somebody used the word before, sunset to it. I mean, this is going to be resolved one way or another, hopefully in the next few weeks, if at the least, at the most maybe. But the fact is that we need somebody and has that responsibility, and I suggest we continue it and pass this.
General Manager, my understanding is that they're asking for a 30-day notice or something.
So that CAL FIRE would require a 30-day notice to get out.
So if we entered into this resolution today and also gave them a 30-day notice, we would have a 30-day period. That would be the shortest time before we could make a decision relative to do we have a reinstatement situation, a rehire situation, or a contract situation.
Fire department, this interim agreement that we've put together that could be executed has a sunset on it. That would be the only acceptable agreement that I would take. That sunset is at the end of this fiscal year, June 30th, or with 30 days notice. It can be extended for up to 6 months and no longer. The cost is within the limits that you have in your document. And if the if the board arrives at wanting to go to execute this agreement, we're prepared to take it to the Board of Supervisors next Tuesday to get their approval of the agreement. I want to clarify a couple of things. Our department is a professional fire department that has worked for many, many years, for decades, with the Cambria Fire Department in a cooperative manner. We will continue to do that, I hope, long into the future. And this is one professional department trying to assist another professional department at a time of need. That is our only motivation. Thank you.
Thank you. 30 days.
Director.
Yeah, I agree with Michael, Mr. Thompson, about not having a need to have CAL FIRE in here in this interim agreement. It's not a total merger or anything, but just it's just awkward to have. They're doing the job right now, and theoretically, when the chief is out of town, the district manager, the acting district manager, is the fire chief. We could hire somebody as a consultant. Perhaps Mr. Miller would like to work as a consultant for 2 weeks, and, you know, until we resolve the issues too. So, as far as authorizing Agenda 9B as it stands, I'm not in favor of it right now.
So, then you would be looking at the other alternative, is that finding some individual qualified by education or experience to perform the duties and responsibilities of fire chief.
That's what I would like to do.
Tomorrow night, and in between that time, I'd like some direction on is exactly, as of this point and as of possibly Saturday, what my chain of command is. If the firefighters report to me as the shift officer, who is my acting chief? Because you, from what I understand, you're telling me that the CAL FIRE is acting chief. I'm hearing that the general manager is acting chief. Every Marine that's spoken in here, anybody who's been in a uniform in the U.S. military knows that in a paramilitary and military organization, that chain of command is critical to our safety and our performance. So could please somebody explain to me in no uncertain terms in front of the public what our chain of command is and what it might be Saturday night at 2000 hours when I take over the ship.
Cal Fire.
I think the position is right now Cal Fire is performing that service.
Okay.
Now.
I understand that, but I think it's not good enough.
Let me ask a question. In the past, is there any kind of provision in your union contract or things for captains to act as...
That's an outstanding question. And actually, the person that could speak better to that would be Chief Miller. I mean that with all due respect. It was an issue that came up during our negotiation, our last contract negotiation of the professional firefighters. It was a very sticky issue, and I don't want to quote the contract because I don't know it off the top of my head, but that was put aside as that sticky issue. We are no longer, the captains are no longer considered for the position of acting chief, as I understand it. Now, again, that is specific to our contract. And again, I'm not quoting the contract because I'm not 100% sure. I want to make that clear. But it was a very difficult issue to get by. Chief Miller, in a show of trying to create succession planning for the fire department, had given us, the captains, that opportunity when he was out of town that we would take over as in an acting role. We are no longer capable of doing that.
Thank you.
Historically, I guess in the past, some of the captains have become that had prior to that, prior to the last negotiation, would be acting fire chiefs. That's my understanding.
That's correct.
Did the
and,
general manager negotiate that union contract?
And what I'm saying is, and the reason I want to bring it again, while we were looking at this, is that whether we would like to renegotiate a contract, and I guess next year is a contract time, whether we'd like to change it, again, it's not something that's going to happen by us saying, gee, let's forget what the contract with the union says. Let's make it that the captain becomes the fire chief. So I guess that's all I'm saying is that all of this has been brought to the fore, which is good. But it can't happen tonight. It won't happen for that gentleman by Saturday. And so I'm saying is that we have a CAL FIRE. The gentleman was nice enough to say that it, as far as they're concerned, it would not go beyond June 30th, which is actually 45, 50 days, two months, I guess. I forget, we're May 3rd, June. But it doesn't mean we have to stay till June 30th. If things work to everyone's benefit in the next week and a half, decisions are made one way or the other with several issues, then we can make the decision to say, we've given you 30 days notice. And that would also give us time to do anything that people would like, let's say, have been suggested, whether it's Chief Miller, whether he's a rehire. I mean, I don't know what all the legal issues are with that, because we have had a termination. So that's not going to be handled preemptively, as we think everything happened before. But the fact is, you got the fire people that depend on a chain of command. We want to give the chain of command to a professional. If our union contract, which I didn't realize didn't, it does not allow for that, then we have to. I don't understand how we don't do it with CAL FIRE.
And what if there's a fire tonight?
Who's in charge? CAL FIRE.
CAL FIRE. Well,
CAL FIRE haven't had their approval until Tuesday.
No, they are working. No, what they're looking at is a formal approval of something that's going to last for 65 days or whatever. But they are acting. They are responsible as the chief right now. That's my understanding. Am I wrong? Are they the chief?
They're providing chief officer coverage.
And the gentleman said he was providing chief responsibility. So we don't want to throw it into confusion at this point. If we say something different now, they are the chief. I mean,
and that $16,000, as Rob Blumen reported, the $16,333
right,
a month.
Right now, the annual compensation. And when we said annual compensation, remember when we put things out, was the total benefits, salaries, overtime, reimbursements, cell phones, everything. The fire chief's annual compensation is $196,000, $16,333 a month. My understanding is that is about the contract, or it would be within that range.
It's almost exactly the same. It's $16,326 a month, which includes 7 day a week chief officer response, fire prevention responsibilities, and all other fire management responsibilities. The person would work with you on your budgets. They would be responsible for the upcoming hazard abatement program, all of those things that are required of any fire department in their management.
Okay, so net cost to us would not exceed what it is right now.
That's correct.
Okay.
Is that an additional
Mr. President?
Person, or is that an existing
CAL
person?
No. CAL FIRE would provide the, my understanding is you would provide the service with revolving whatever people are on duty. If you're going to provide it 7 days a week, you're obviously not one person.
You would have a battalion chief who would be assigned to the Cambria Fire Department management as a department head for you. When that person is off duty, emergency response would go to the other on-duty battalion chiefs. I would serve as your fire chief overall. And there would always be a duty chief on duty 24 hours a day. And what I'm describing for you is not something unique. It's been done. It's being done currently in the community of Paradise on an interim basis. It's been done even in Grover Beach years past. This is not a contract under the same sort of situation we have done in other communities in this county, such as the county itself, Los Osos, Pismo Beach. This is just an interim agreement to get you time to sort out how you're going to handle future management of your fire department.
Okay.
Right.
And I just want to say something. Our department gets nothing.
Seems like it's really good.
I recommend that we...
No, you've been taking people with no slips for this whole meeting. I want to say one more thing, Director
Clifton. I have just recognized...
You have been taking comments after comment with no slips, and I have one more thing to say.
Say it.
That there's a... I will. That the general manager now has given compensatory package of $83,000 to the fire chief who was just fired, Mark Miller. So in addition to the $16,000, $83,000 has gone out the window unnecessarily, I believe.
Thank you. Director Beringer?
Could I move that we adopt 9B as written with the provision that we also give 30 days notice? And if we need to extend it, we could probably extend it. And then I'm sure we'll resolve this in the next 30 days. We could agendize it for next
year. You have the option to do that if you wish. You know, is that your motion?
I move that we adopt 9B as it is, give 30 days notice to the CAL FIRE, and agendize appointment of a permanent fire chief for next month's meeting. That's my motion.
Do I have a second?
So moved.
Okay, motion to second. Would you like to speak?
I would. You know, with all due respect with CAL FIRE, I know Rob Lewin personally, outstanding department and person, but I find it kind of ironic that their estimate or bid would come in just at what we're paying supposedly the fire chief at $16,000. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Tammy gave him the figure to put down. I mean, how can it be so close with them coming in with their bid?
Public record.
Are you saying you're disparaging the CAL FIRE now?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you disparaging CAL FIRE's intent?
No, not at all, sir.
I don't understand. They have rates, and they assessed it, and that's what the number they came up with.
Yeah. No. What I'm
how far are we going to go with the off the hand comments there?
I respect CDF.
That's right.
And I respect Rob Lewin. Right. My question is
that's not the way you presented it.
To Raw or to CAL FIRE is, you're willing to spend $16,000. They're not going to put a battalion chief sitting at that in the office 40 hours a week, I don't think. That battalion chief has other responsibilities.
And procedures that have to be followed up, which is not in our purview. It's a legal proceeding. He has engaged counsel, which is his right. It's fine. That's good. Yeah. But you're not going to solve this problem in 3 days or 5 days, and we need a chief.
I understand that. Thank you.
Okay. Any more discussion with the board? We have a motion and a second. Oh, yeah, Terry, I did say I would let you talk. Come on up, Terry.
I want to reiterate, the only reason I came here today was to support Chief Miller. The only reason. But I do want to remind the board who put you in this position. Right there. In the real world, authority or not, we've all worked for businesses. Before I would have taken an action like Tammy took, I would have talked to my board to find out where in the hell they're coming from, and she would have found out what your position was. So when you're thinking about where to go with this, don't forget who put you in this spot. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion from the board?
I just want to ask a question. We've been operating for 2 weeks now with CAL FIRE providing chief services. Mm-hmm. Are they going to cut us off at any point in time, or can we rely on them to perhaps
give us a little bit more slack until we can resolve this thing, and so we won't need to enter into this 30-day agreement?
According to the chief, the maximum period of time they would enter into any contract like this is 6 months.
No, just in terms of, are they going to cut us off tomorrow if we don't enter this agreement, or will they give us some more time?
My belief is that they would want something formal.
Yeah. They need to have something formal.
Okay. All the fire department, Robert Lewin, acting county fire chief, all the fire departments in California sign a mutual aid agreement with each other. Currently, the way that I'm providing emergency response coverage at chief officer level is through that mutual aid agreement. Mutual aid agreement is we're operating in a department head. It wouldn't be prudent for me to continue operating in that manner. It's costing them money to have my personnel assisting you. I think I'm available for questions.
Okay.
Can I clarify one thing then? I realize you are Cal Fire, but what you said, which I think my understanding then is, you're really acting on the mutual aid for the County of San Luis Obispo. Is that right?
The County of San Luis Obispo contracts with Cal Fire to provide county fire protection. Right. So I also, besides being the Cal Fire unit chief, also am the county fire chief. This agreement that we've prepared would be executed as the county fire chief under the county fire department. And I know that the county is not interested in forming a contract with Cambria for long term, but they understand the situation here, and they agreed to allow us to offer up our services to assist you for a short amount of time.
Okay. That's good. No, so it's not a, quote, a Sacramento thing. It's really a local support.
Well, given the amount of property taxes and TOT taxes we send to the county, I would think that we could avail ourselves of some of the services here. I just don't know that we need this agreement. I think we can, if we have to have it, we could call a special meeting. If not, I would again suggest we just table it.
Well, there's a motion on the table.
There's a motion on the table.
I could withdraw the motion.
There's been a motion.
There's been a seconded.
You've made an amendment to it?
No.
Added the 30-day notice.
Oh, well, no, I thought
that was part of the original motion.
Part of the original.
It says that here
motion.
Somewhere?
No, well, that was no, part
he,
of my motion.
He added that
okay.
in the original
so,
motion.
Original motion, okay. So we have to vote on the motion. I call, okay. call the vote.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
No.
No. Four passes 4-1. So we will enter into this agreement on a short-term basis and get to work on making a final decision on what occurs.
Could I suggest that if we work through the issues that we could have a special board meeting ahead of time?
Absolutely. Perhaps? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. We're actually on item number 4, public comment. I waited till everybody left. And I have a couple of requests to speak on public comment. First, Jerry McKinnon.
Jerry McKinnon, you notice the costumes change. I have my American Legion cap back on because I want to make some comment about this building. It's nice to have the fresh paint job. Just look above you and down the walls. Carlos did this whole thing all by himself. And he made this building look beautiful on the inside. And we want to, yes, and you've done right. You've shown your appreciation for his diligence, his hard work, and his professionalism. You got a good man on the staff. He's an excellent work. Now, if we could just get something done with the termites on the outside of the building, we'll be making some more progress. But thank you, Carlos. You did excellent. Really makes a difference. Thank you.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I want to just say parenthetically, if you figure out a way to deal with the termites here, please let me know.
Yeah.
I would just have a quick clarification, Mr. President, because I didn't quite understand. And I know this is not an agenda item now, so I want to just get a clarification from you. The special meeting today was an evaluation, according to the agenda, of one position, the general manager. May I then assume that the meeting tomorrow evening, the new special meeting that's been called, will be a special meeting only about that position and not other staff positions?
Tim, Carmel, you want to respond to that?
Well, the Brown Act doesn't actually require you to specify the position for that notice. However, respectfully, I think the answer to the question would be yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. Item.
Area up for election this year, Area 7, which you can see on the screen here. It is bounded by Ardeth and Pine Ridge and Berwick and Benson and includes the top of the world area of Lodge Hill. If you live in that area, you can go down and vote at the Rabobank between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. And I'm had been on the North Dakota Advisory Council for a number of years. Currently, I'm not, but I am running for that position in Area 7, and the other candidate running is Erwin Oneshin, who was the chair of the Water Emergency Alternative Citizens Committee. So I just wanted to let folks know that they can go down to Rabobank between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Tuesday and vote. Only if you live in this neighborhood, because NCAC is elected by neighborhood. So I'd like to encourage folks to do that, because there's only one area up this year. The rest will be filled up by appointment. The second thing I'd like to raise out of three things is the county put out their resource management system annual summary report that is their summary of what's what the county, it's kind of the county's Bible of what's going on in the communities and where are their levels of severity that need to be addressed in terms of resources. And this has some good information in it about that will probably also be in our urban water management plan that'll be coming to you guys for approval. Including that the gallons per capita per day looks like probably 105 gallons per capita per day is what the goal is going to be for 2020. And just to put that a little bit in perspective, if we have 7,000 people living here, which would be a little less than two people per household, that gives us, and then add 25% for commercial on top of that usage. If we're using 105 per capita per day plus another 25% for commercial, that's about 1,100 acre feet a year. So just keep that in mind when we're looking at what size type of desal plant we might be trying to put in place and whether we need it. The last item, of course, is on behalf of Elon Funky Baloo. It's been 3,450 direct staff to look into what it would take to do that, lifting the moratorium. I think it would be a very good thing for this community, because if you're not living, you're dying. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let me just make one comment.
Yeah, Director Thompson.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment with respect to the NCAC election for District 7. We have two very, very good, very qualified persons running, and I would hope that whichever one is not successful would want to be the alternate so we could have the benefit of both their experiences on the board. Two very good candidates.
Okay. Thank you. Item number 5 is agenda review. Any requests for deletions or pulls on the consent calendar?
If not, we'll move on to item six, manager and board reports, general manager's report.
Okay, so attached is Vanskoyuk's monthly report, and then I attached just the statistics from March for Cambria fire incidents, and mentioned that the PROS Commission, the next one is Tuesday, June 7th at 10 o'clock here at the Vets Hall. Moving on to finance, there were no disbursements in excess of $100,000 during March, and then Al makes mention that the balance in the local agency investment fund as of March 31st was $4.8 million. And then he attaches his debt schedule as well to his report. And then Jerry's report as utilities manager starts on page 12, and he's here, so he can present that.
President Clift, board members, staff members, and community, attached is my utility manager's report. I'll start with the wastewater department and just point out a couple key items. We have a Vactor truck, as you know, and that Vactor truck is in the process, along with staff, of hydro cleaning the sewer lines. We've done Fern Canyon and Fern and Hastings area so far. That vac truck is also capable of cleaning lift stations, and we've cleaned lift station 9 and lift station B1. We continue to work with plant staff on the preparation for the transition of the wastewater supervisor. As you know, Mike Kirkendall, his last day before he goes on terminal leave is going to be May 6th, and he's been with the district some 23 years, and so there was concern about making sure that institutional knowledge is transferred. And been working with Mike and making sure that everything is written down and that he's downloaded as much as possible for Mike Finnegan. At the end of the digester, and we process sludge once a year. That's posing some operational concerns, so we're going to be processing biosolids a little more frequently than we have in the past. And also, as part of next year's fiscal budget, we're going to be eliminating the enzymes and going back to a more biologically active process, which is aeration. That they're aerobic digesters, so we don't need to be adding bugs to bugs, so that'll be a significant savings there for the wastewater department. And then also the new wastewater lead person, Mike Finnegan, will be providing me weekly reports so I can monitor the process of the plant. With regards to water, as of April 14th, the well levels are above average for this year of the time or this time of year. That's because of all the rain we've got. What's important is, as part of the regional water quality control permit that's, that we operate under, is that the creeks flow, and that's because of the steelhead, which are an endangered species. So it's important that we monitor those creeks. Those creeks are still flowing quite well into the Pacific Ocean. Also, starting in May, staff will perform annual maintenance on the SR4 in preparation to start it up, and we anticipate the SR4, which is the Santa Rosa Well 4, which is at the high school, being started up in sometime in June. And so what we do is we augment our wells. We have the Santa Rosa wells, and then we have the San Simeon wells, so we replace those or rotate them, actually, to manage our basin and to manage the creek flows. Amanda Rice at public comment last week asked with regards to how we are doing on the fire hydrants for Moonstone Beach. We're continuing to replace those. We've purchased two additional ones, and that job should be completed within the next month or so. So if you drive down Moonstone Beach and the San Simeon Inn on the very end, there's a brand new fire hydrant there, and then one other one has been replaced along the way. We're down 3 acre feet from March of last year at this time. And we're working on the urban water management plan. And Bob, are we going to have a draft in May, or draft of the urban water management plan to the board? Is it May or June?
We have to adopt it by July 1, according to the state recommendations at this point.
Okay, so we're per, again, public comment on that. We're working on the urban water management plan. Facilities and resources is the next area. Again, as I promised, the electrical panel's been replaced. And ultimately, what we want to do is remove the equipment out of there and put it into the office over here. So it's a very small space. But there are several projects going on that I've listed here with regard to the Fiscal Indian Ranch. And then there's my miscellaneous administrative duties that I'm working on per direction from the general manager. One other thing, if you go on our website, historically, we've had difficulty getting water and wastewater operators into the Cambria area to work for us. And so what we've done is we've revised that recruitment brochure, and we've emphasized why it's good to come to work for the Cambria Community Services District and why it's good to live in Cambria. And so it's on the website if you want to look at that, and hopefully we'll get a larger pool of applicants applying for the water and wastewater positions. So I'm excited about that. The contracts with the county have been going really slow. I've been diligent and been kind of a thorn in their side with regard to the radio room contract, which is our communications center up at Stewart Street Tank and then the rodeo grounds. But there's some movement there, and I'm hopeful that I'll at least be able to bring the rodeo grounds contract to you in May for approval or consideration and approval. Is there anything that I can, any questions that I can ask of the board or?
Any board members?
Well, I was either sleeping or something. You went over something. You said we're down 3 acre feet.
Overall consumption, there's roughly about 320,000 gallons in an acre foot. So it's just a statistic that I'm quoting from last year of this time. We're down 3 acre feet. It's not necessarily due to conservation. It's probably more due to it's an economy-based driven number. So but it's one of the things that I ask of the water department is to provide me data that shows, you know, where our production is from this year versus last year. So to answer your question, the 3 acre feet is from March of 2010, we used 3 acre feet less than in March of 2011, we've used 3 acre feet less than March of 2010. And that's kind of an important statistic to look at. So
it's based on pumping amount?
Yes.
It's measured from the pump.
Yes.
It's also an important statistic to keep regularly now if we ever get involved in dealing with changing the moratorium. Or the modifying of that aspect of the water thing.
And conservation ties into all that, so and all those different things, and being able to show that we've offset our demand and the demand is actually going down. So
right. It also affects the
from the water and wastewater side.
Yeah,
I don't mean to be long-winded. The board authorizes repair and maintenance funds for each department, and I'm really keen on making sure that those are being spent to make sure that our equipment's up and running. As I mentioned to somebody earlier, you know, we have over 200 components at the wastewater plant, whereas pumps, motors, belts, blowers, filters, electronic devices, and it requires a great deal of maintenance. Once you get everything up to speed and you get on a preventive maintenance program, then the things that you're seeing will probably not be, the list will probably not be as long, but we're playing catch up.
So we are in the catch up mode.
And usually good. Usually problems from an operational perspective on your wastewater treatment plant or your collection system are maintenance related. So when you see violations in your effluent or you see sanitary overflows, SOSs, you can usually tie it back to maintenance. I'm a real big proponent on making sure that your maintenance of the plant is updated, not just operations.
Okay.
And so as I continue to evaluate the system, just like the collection system and seeing things that need to be taken care of, if we have the funds in the budget, I want to make sure that they're being spent on maintenance-related items.
Good. Another quick one. Under facilities and resources, mowing of CCSD property is currently underway.
Yes.
Is that a big deal?
It is a big deal from the standpoint of invasive species on Fiscalini Ranch. For an example, there's thistles going out there right now, and there are portions of Fiscalini Ranch that are natural, but there's also portions that need to be maintained and mowed, and those are ADA accessible areas, but they're also some of the open areas. The dog park area, for an example, is an area that we are responsible for maintaining. That area right there across Ben Bohr has mowed that area. But there's, and I can provide probably a more detailed list, but there's a lot of area that requires mowing and upkeep on the ranch. And so
The ranch does not take care of itself. It requires a lot of resources to do that.
Does that mean a lot of dollars that we're talking about? Man hours, dollars, same thing?
There are times in the springtime right now after a heavy rain that requires a lot of the staff time. And so Ben and Carlos, in addition to all their other responsibilities, are spending most of the majority of their time out maintaining maintaining the mowing and things like that. So out of the roughly $450,000 resources and facilities.
A question was the, we're on that ad hoc committee, the master fee schedule, you're waiting for quotes. When do you expect those quotes to come in?
Well, we have quotes.
They need, we need them.
We have quotes right now, and the general manager and I are discussing whether we should move forward with that or wait till next fiscal year and put it in next fiscal year's budget. The lowest quote came in from Bartle and Wells, which is $12,300 for the master fee schedule. And we'll, if it's the board's desire and they direct me to try to find that money now, then we'll do it as opposed to waiting until next fiscal year. And as we evaluate those things, we'll have to, you know, look at the current costs that we're charging for our facilities and things. So
I don't have
I'm ready to start on it.
I don't have it in front of me, but it seemed like there was like $1,000 was the net of all those the revenues for this facility.
And we
I mean, very minimal amount of funds, and it's because there's so many exceptions. That's
correct. We designated an overwhelming majority of the activities that happen in this facility as nonprofit and in general in nature. And one of the things that we've discussed at the ad hoc committee is that the community understanding that this is a facility that belongs to them and is used by everybody. And so, as from a policy standpoint, we may want to consider not just waiving all the fees, but have a general consensus amongst all the community groups that use the facility that we do need to charge at least a minimum, but with the promise that we'll take that money and put it right back into this facility.
I remember Director Thompson talking about that, and the fact is if in lieu of waiting for Wallace or whoever you do pick across the board, everybody pays, there's such minimal charges for the different elements. It seems like that's one thing that could be easily done that at least gets a little dollars. And I don't think anyone should object. I mean, those the value that they get for those fees is just amazing.
I think that if we don't blindside the stakeholders and let them know that, okay, we have a two-prong approach. We have the existing fees that are in place, and we're going to not waive those because we need to put the money back into this facility with the understanding that we're going to reevaluate the future master fee schedule and look at what we charge for the facilities. And so.
For seven. This is six.
We're on 6B.
We're not. Which one do you have?
Sorry, 6A. Did I hear that?
6A.
She has it for 7, so
it's Sorry,
I put the wrong number.
Yep, come on. Okay. Yeah, it shows 7A, but
yeah,
you,
I'm
you,
sorry.
Want it, you want it for 6A?
I meant 6A.
Okay.
I just want to say, Board, good afternoon. Tina Dickinson Cambria. I'd like to say that on a day when there's been so much criticism hurled at the district, I feel compelled to thank the utilities manager for his excellent reporting, his excellent work. I've never seen this kind of reporting in the times that I've attended these meetings. He researches. He is really doing an outstanding job. And he's to be commended, at least from this Cambrian, for the work that he's doing. And I would like to say how very much I appreciate it. And while we were talking, he mentioned this building, so I want to bring up the fact that a month or two ago, there was an issue about broadband here, and broadband was here because this was a facility that was designated for staff to come in times of emergencies. It's obvious from the flooding that occurred here in the Vets Hall in the lower part and in rodeo grounds that that this building might be not the place for you to come. There may be another choice in town on higher ground. So I have to ask whether broadband is actually is $800 a month that we're paying for broadband might be something that would be looked at by board staff. Thank you.
Thank you. I have also a request from Elizabeth Bentonhauser on I speak on item six. Elizabeth,
is that? Is it possible to wait until after the ad hoc committee reports too, or would you like me to do it now?
Oh, did you? What, you want it on the ad hoc committees?
I do want to definitely speak on 6B, and I don't know about 6C until I hear the reports.
Okay. All right, 6B.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I did not attach the capital improvement project table to this month's report. I can in future months if you so desire, but I had no changes from the last month, so we didn't attach it this month. So just to qualify, you know, what's in front of you. Just to give you a brief up, that's being developed by the Army Corps, and I've been doing some just reviews back and forth with them, pretty intensive reviews as it's under development. And we hope to have that out for public review around the end of next week. And that would start a 30-day review period. The first paragraph I have under desalination project in your report, there is an error in saying that as part of the core review procedures, the availability of this document will be reported in the Congressional Federal Register. They told me since I wrote this that that is no longer the case, so it will not show up in the Federal Register. It's just going to be available again towards the end of next week if all goes according to plan, and then we'd have it available in our office for review. So we'll get more information out as that final gets to a finalization. Again, that particular document is to cover the potential environmental impacts of collecting the data out on the Shamel Park Beach and the Santa Rosa Creek Beach area. And the purpose of that is to obtain enough data to determine the potential feasibility of that area for subterranean type wells. If it does prove to be feasible, there'd be a whole separate environmental impact report and environmental impact statement that'll have numerous alternatives in it that'll go under greater scrutiny to determine the impacts of a project at that point. So this is just for data collection, essentially, to determine feasibility. The scope of the work has been reduced considerably to address some concerns of the past by state parks, so it should have fewer potential impacts this time around. Again, it will get that out towards the end of next week. The next project, unless you have questions on that one, I can stop at any time. Stewart Street and Rodeo Grounds Pump Station, the initial studies, mitigated neg decks. We have one on each project. Those are going through completion and finalization with RBF Consulting, who's the consultant on those. Again, just back and forth iterations of it, draft reviews that are in-house and with RBF. So we're getting close on those. Going to estimate towards the middle of May at this point, and we still have to have a few in-house discussions with operations to make sure we're and as Jerry mentioned, the 2010 Urban Water Management Plan update is the next one that I have to jump on to get that knocked out so we can adopt it by July 1. So there'll be considerable activity on that in the next month or two to wrap that effort up so we can have that at a future board meeting. So at that, I'll close unless there are some questions. Thank you.
Just want to check even with council. Look on that page 19, the 30-day SECA public review. And so, Bob, when will that actually be put into the public's review?
That would be as soon as RBF can finalize the documents.
So are you saying RBF is the problem, or are we the problem?
Well, we have to have some internal discussion, particularly on the rodeo grounds pump station. And the issue that we are holding up RBF on right now is to the extent of demolition that we want to include in that particular project. Right.
Well,
so that needs further
you're, definition. I was trying to go through all my papers, but your goal should be to get this put together, to get it out, get those 30 days so that we can come back to the board on our, hopefully, maybe catch the end of June. And that raises my other, because, you know, I've been working on this for a couple of years. And to pollute the issue of the pump station and that, now you're talking about demolition of another facility, I think is wrong, personally. You're going to pollute. You're going to create more opportunity for investigation or response to the EIR. I mean, that, as I understand it, that facility you're talking about adding is part of demolition. It's not in the way of the tank. It's not in the way of the pump station. Stop growing the pot. You got to remember, last year you were given the okay by the board to add the Fiscalini tank. Remember, we're going to move the tank, and that complicated, so we ended up with a bigger EIR. That's closed as far as at least my position is. So let's get this thing done the way we said it was authorized last year. There's no more amendments, no more added projects, no more added ideas of what we could cover in one EIR. Because we're losing this. You're going to be on to the agenda for June. Is it June? Then you have to wait a month for July. I always get tripped up by these two-step processes.
There's only one required
one?
Hearing.
Okay.
Now, you can handle a hearing before. You can allow public comment during the draft, but that's not legally required.
Right.
There would only be one hearing at the conclusion of the public comment period, at which time you adopt the neg deck and adopt the project.
So if things were to work out in the best possible light, and if we can get it out by May 15th, so the 30 days ends by June 15th, you could put it on the June, and then we could make a decision to say, yes, it's good, and go forward, at least to the next step. And that's all we're doing here is try to get to the step where we say we want to go to start finishing the design, get some cost estimates, and then make the further decisions later amongst ourselves. But we keep batting up against this, you know, seek a thing. Let's get it out of the way. If it's going to be working, let's get the scope of the project set in concrete, as they say, and then we can move on and make decisions. So, you know, that's just my opinion.
You know, we have to realize he's an engineer, right?
I know. Well, one third of my brain is that way, and I try to keep overcoming it, but it's tough.
Yeah,
Bob. You know, this is no. I understand what you know. It's good. You're all inclusive and that. But sometimes you just got to stop the study and go to, you know, get it done. I want to see tanks, pumping station. The people want fire protection. We just went through a whole real uproar about fire protection and fire services. Mm-hmm. The tank has to be built. Fiscalini's got to be fixed. The rodeo grounds got to be out of the floodplain. Let's get it done. And if the old treatment plant gets flooded, so it gets flooded. I mean, why do we have... I don't like to leave things long term. Some things should be demolished, but let's not make this part of this project so that, again, could throw a roadblock somewhere where we don't want it.
Oh, I understand the urgency, and we are doing our best to make sure we have our I's dotted and our T's crossed. There are some potential traps that we're trying to avoid if we don't do this properly. So I think we're in good hands with RBF and where they're at, and I suspect with a few in-house discussions, we'll iron out this one question on the rodeo grounds pump station and get
the proof that we never get it out there is a problem for us. We've got to move forward.
Yeah, we will. Thank you.
Any other questions for the district engineer? We'll move on then to item C, member and committee reports. Is there a report on SCADA, ad hoc SCADA committee?
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, wait a minute.
I thought you wanted the ad hoc committee's reports first.
Well, it would be more clarifying for my poor brain if I could speak on individually.
Come on. You want to speak on B? Okay.
I just want to say I know the
microphone. Microphone.
I want to thank Carlos for being willing to turn these off. I haven't been here in several months because, as you know, of my convulsion problem, and I don't like to convulse in front of you, so I'm sure you've missed my comments about ACE in these past 2 months when I haven't been here. First thing, the quarterly report from the Army Corps of Engineers is my rhetorical immediacy, and the quarter ended on the 13th of March, and so I assume that you have been negotiating with the Army Corps of Engineers for their quarterly report, which I had hoped would be on the agenda today. I had also hoped that there might be some kind of report from the Army Corps of Engineers of the work of the project team, since Mr. Gressens has kindly informed me that I would get it from the Army Corps of Engineers and not from CCSD, the reports of the project team's work. I have not been successful lately in getting public in getting responses to my request for information from the Army Corps of Engineers. So I want to ask a question just for clarification. I'm glad that Mr. Gressens explained some of what he said here about the desal project. It starts, the project team has reduced the proposed scope of the remaining data collection activities. If I understand correctly, I will be informed of what the reduced scope of these activities is when I get next week the report on the environmental assessment and initial study mitigated negative declaration. And therefore, I will be asked to judge all of that only in the scope of the environmental assessment report. There will be no public discussion about the reduction of the proposed scope of the project. And so this report will be available, we hope, next week in the CCSD office. I make a firm and passionate request, if I may, evaluate it at a cost to us, but then report it back to us at public meetings. My final comment is that I recall, you can imagine, I do not, as a former English major also, go lightly with words when I can be clearly thinking enough. And I want to do the public evaluation carefully and with due diligence in reading the text. Now I am I hear again that we are going to be asked to do evaluations of two environmental assessments of two major projects. And the public, frankly, would, no, I don't know what the public would want. I, as a member of the public, would very much like to have no overlap when I am concentrating on doing an evaluation from ethical as well as environmental and ecological perspectives of what is planned to do with our money here in town. So please try to get these sort of at least a month apart if you possibly can. Thank you.
Okay, then we're going to go on to the member and committee reports. Ad hoc, Skeda.
Yes, we met with Jerry last week. We were talking about moving forward on getting a firm fixed price or potentially fixed price contractor to complete the work. One of the things that came up, I'm trying not allow this to move to wait until next month to approve expenditures toward that. Is there any reason that we couldn't approve a not to exceed contract for someone or for the utilities manager to contract with somebody to complete their work? I think that was Frank and I were thinking we want to move forward. We don't have to wait to get something on the agenda for next week. It's an ad hoc. Yeah.
Well, we'd still need board approval, but you could do it. You could do
approve that now based on this ad hoc committee meeting report.
Well, it's not really agendized for action. Maybe we can somehow slip that onto the special meeting agenda, but it's not agendized for an act of.
Okay, then perhaps.
Can I ask a question now?
Sure.
A year ago or more, Bob put together a good presentation. You had a timeline on the SCADA. Remember that document? Timeline on the SCADA, and you had a cost curve of what was approved by the board. The board had approved $860-something thousand for this. And I think even with the settlement with CyberNet.
That was the project cost estimate.
Okay.
So
okay.
There's no budget because we don't have a CIP budget, or a capital improvement program budget.
Then my recommendation is that if we have a special meeting prior to next month's meeting, that we include that on the agenda too, so we can get that some funds approved. Is it
your or at least it should be on next month's agenda.
At least,
a SCADA
yes.
fund for which is I'll represent it as a next step, which is a due diligence of all the equipment that's been in storage, due diligence of the software and hardware, and giving us a hard and fast price on all the location installation costs, or at least an estimate. Based on that, then, because, you know, there's a lot of legwork that has to be done. This stuff is in different areas, in different conditions. The reason for this is that we want to make sure that the proposal we get from who we deal with can't be co-opted by, when I opened this box, I didn't find this, or it's somehow got rusted, or it's broken, or we actually can't even find it. We want to do that work now with these companies and get them to do that, so that there's no change conditions. And this is, you know, from contract management, the more information they have, the harder it is for them to say it was unknown and unforeseeable. Okay. We want everything to be locked down because we know where it's all going to go. We know where the equipment should be. Once it's all done, then it's just a matter of how many man hours he's going to need to put it in. He's got to get an electrical subcontractor, a panel manufacturer, and then he's going to do all the programming and get this up and running for the water system.
Okay, then let's make sure it's on the next regular or special meeting.
Right.
The next meeting, whether that meeting's a regular or a special meeting. Anything else on SCADA? On the organizational transition plan, Director McKinnon, do you have anything on that?
I think we had our first and probably a very exciting meeting with General Manager. And I think it affects our total organization, whether it be water, wastewater, facilities and resources. So it was an excellent start. There's nothing, I don't think, firm enough to report, but there's, I think, rooms for optimization, efficiency, and improved services at the end. So I was very funny Director D'Amico, General Manager, and myself were discussing, I think, were really significant changes and necessary modifications in both compensation, second tier, healthcare. It's really a very fertile area of discussion, and I think necessary to do it right now. We need it done. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, and for the public, our contracts with our union personnel and all of our operations come up for negotiation next year, starting as early as May?
May.
April. So what we're trying to do is make sure that we have our own thoughts together, our own concepts of what we would like to see. It falls on the staff to give us background information of where we are, and there's been enough information on the website and in the news about the pay structure of everyone in the CCSD employee. So all of these have to be looked at because we have to start thinking about a longer-term budget situation, and all of the negotiations next year will affect our cost of operations in water and sewer,
yep.
Fire, public parks and maintenance. So all of those are being looked at, and with the understanding that, as far as from my perspective, and I think if you read, there's a good site, if anybody wants to go to stateline.org to look at the national situation with regard to local governments, counties, and states as to where there is available money or the lack thereof. And I think that there's been some articles even in San Luis County and San Luis Obispo City that we're finding that the what may look at as a an up market in the stock market is not an up market for the working people of the country, and also our taxes. Tax revenues are still down. They're more than they were in 2008, but they are not anywhere near what they were in 6 and 7. So the change in available monies going forward, and what also the cost of money in the future with, quote, inflation and bond rates potentially could be very permanent. Time flies. It's already April. So we're really a year away. But fact-finding, data collection, comparison to other agencies, all that should be done so we have an informed presentation on where we're going to go in the future on wage rates and benefits.
Any other reports on that? The ad hoc future reorganization of CCSD Fire Department. Director Thompson, do you want to make any report on that?
Well, only that the discussions with the health district have basically been put on hold pending resolution of the issues with the fire department. And the health district needs to hire a part-time administrator prior to June 30th, and so they are proceeding forward with seeking applicants for that position. Trustee Heading did announce his resignation from the committee because he is moving out of the area, and so there will be a vacancy in that district. But beyond that, there's nothing to report on that area.
NCAC liaison?
Yes, there's a couple of important things going on that the public should know. There's a big tree trimming project that's coming up in town, so you're going to be seeing the county trimming trees. The trolley has been discontinued due to several things. The CCSD used to put a stipend in to help control the trolley. The trolley only requires $14,000 a year, because that's 10% of the potential revenue they could get. So, but it's been discontinued, and I think it's an issue that the NCAC wants to write a letter to support the trolley. There's also some move afoot of other people in town, potentially charitable organizations or whatever, to fund it. And perhaps at a future meeting, this might come up as an agenda item, whether the CCSD would like to reintroduce for a very local trolley a portion of that. So I can see that coming up. There's going to be a stop sign, a four-way stop at Burton and Center. That's only a couple of feet, if you know where A Matter of Taste is, at that corner, Center, that Center Street comes out. There was a plan afoot to reverse the traffic so that instead of coming in to the post office, they're going to reverse the traffic. There's also an event ordinance that has come through, went through the NCAC. The NCAC didn't feel that there needed to be an ordinance, but they talked more about it. And the event ordinance started several years ago to limit large gatherings on ranches. But it's taken a life of its own, and it's grown to the point where it's going to cover every event in the county and provide some restrictions, and all of which, or many of which, will prevent us from doing certain things like Pine Dorado. The Historical Society won't be able to have any fundraisers at their facility, etc., if it continues as written. It's going before the Planning Commission. Ken Topping is on the Planning Commission, as you know, and had some questions about it. They're going to review it again this month, but it'll go to planning for public comment next time. But Susie McDonald, I don't know if you know her, she's a local citizen, gave me a call and was talking about how onerous it would be. And heck, we do want to have Pine Dorado, and a small organization like the Historical Society would not be able to even have an event at all, because you need a 200-foot distance between, you know, the facility and the people that are coming, et cetera. So I would recommend those that are watching this on TV or listening to this might pay a little more attention to this regulation that's making its way through the Planning Commission. I think it would affect our area extremely
in an extreme method. And also, it turns out that the government's going to be, the county land is going to be exempt, but but you know, private citizens are going to be restricted in many ways.
Director Minkel?
I'd like to say I'm glad it's been expanded like that, because now communities will feel the same problem that the ranchers were feeling. The idea that ranchers were going to be regulated out of their business, it shows you what can happen when agencies just overtake something, come up with a good idea, and make it the worst potential that we can all see. Because, you know, the ranchers have been arguing this for, what, 2 years, 3 years? Oh, yeah. You probably know. And they were getting no real support that I could see. And where, you know, you look at some of these ranches, they're 1,000 acres, 800 acres, heritage of towns like ourselves and even Paso Robles. Can they use their park in the middle of town for a big
wine festival?
Wine festival. I mean, this is something where once they start getting their arms around it, which is really a revenue issue, because it's they're trying to offload the cost of fire, police, inspectors, because they can't support them anymore through normal taxation. There's loads of fees that they're all putting on, and sanitary. I mean, these are things that the poor rancher was going to get killed getting doing, and now you're seeing how it can affect you when they just keep going. Once you start discussing something like that, it just seems to have a life of its own.
It's only an $8,000 MUP, minor use permit. Then you can start doing some things. But.
Yeah, right.
One of the, maybe the interesting thing about Pine Dorado is it all takes place on property owned by the county. Because the county does own the Pine Dorado grounds. They own the Main Street.
But the idea of a government exempting themselves from anything is onerous to me.
You know,
it's just onerous because they don't have to spend the money, but the private citizen has to spend
the
money.
Yeah, but that's not an uncommon approach. Okay. On the pros liaison, Director Thompson?
No report beyond what pros chair Steve Niffen made this afternoon.
Okay. Got a request to speak on item 6C from Elizabeth Benthauser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm glad I did stipulate BNC because I do now have a question to clarify my previous question. When you decided a bit ago that SCADA could be heard for action at a special meeting or at the next regular meeting, might that special meeting include tomorrow night?
No, because that has already been posted, and we have to post it 24 hours, and so we're basically... Yeah, but they'd have to go back and redo the whole thing and get it out there posted.
So okay.
We don't have time for that one.
Okay. Thank you very much on that. Just one other comment. I suffered a huge case of jealousy listening to Mr. McKinnon talk about the fertile discussion that those two ad hoc committees especially are having in terms of thoughts, and I'm quoting now, I hope accurately, thoughts, concepts, and background. Engagement of the discussion before the ad hoc committee reports. I'd like to know, how can we be understanding your informed presentation, in quotations, when you come to the budget issues? I think, Mr. D'Amico, you just used that phrase about an informed presentation with all the discussion and the data preparation. But it would be very interesting to hear you at some point, gentlemen, discuss your policy of having the public discuss with your issues only when there is a final resolution up for action, whether a yay or a nay. So I urge you again, as I always do, please have at least a financial standing committee, if not also human resources. Thank you.
Each of those committees have been given the authority to hold public sessions. And that's prior to a decision being made and coming to the board. So the committee itself can hold open public sessions, and they're going to be encouraged to do that. I think there was a starting point to get basic information, then to go to the public for information on that. So it's a combination.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. President, for clarifying that. I really did not know that. And so I look forward to the announcements, both on the website and posted, that there will be an ad hoc committee whose members invite the public. Thank you.
And I have one other request to speak on that. Tina Dickerson.
A couple of comments on item 6C. And following up with what Elizabeth just said, Director McKinnon, that you had a very exciting, you said, conversation with the general manager, modification you mentioned. I mean, these are you use these adjectives, but yet we're never told anything. I mean, what exactly do you mean by modification? Up, down, sideways, what? I mean, where's the transparency coming across from the dais to this side?
You just heard the president. We're at the workshop. We're not going to...
Well, you're going to report to us from an ad hoc committee, we want a report,
certainly.
Not just generalities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's fair.
Well,
and regarding that particular issue on employee, the ad hoc future employee salary and benefit programs, a couple of things. As Director D'Amico pointed out in the TRIB, I think it was last week, week before, responsibly, in order to meet their expenditures. So they're looking at the revenue, they're looking at the expenses and saying, we can only do so much. I would hope then that rather than just this, oh, well, they had exciting meeting, modification. No, we want some answers. We want a report like Mr. Gruber gave with some real answers. Data, facts, that's what I want to hear. And I really mean it. I mean, how many times do I have to keep getting up here and saying, transparency, report back to us. You've taken away the standing committees. Now we're ad hoc, and we can just do whatever we damn well please. We'll do something better than that for us. Thank you.
Any other comments on member committee reports? If not, then we will move to the consent agenda. I have one request to speak before we actually start on it. Jerry McKinnon.
Thank you again for the opportunity. Looking at the expenditures report, I just...
No, which hat?
Oh, oh, that's good. That's cool.
It's...
When I look at facilities and resources, under which this building is budgeted, there is a fee of $561.50 that's paid to the attorney. I'm just curious what the issue is, not the number of dollars, because everybody earns his wages, but what was the issue that required $561.50? And then in Parks and Recreation, a fee of $745. What were the issues that required the attorney's attention in those two areas? I'm just curious. Thank you.
You wish to? We'll just have to research it.
I don't
it.
Know. Yeah.
We'll research it for you, Jerry.
Thank you.
It's an answer. I have no other requests to speak. Can I get a motion on the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda, accept the consent, approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Item 8, hearings and appeals. Madam General Manager.
Okay, so this is the public hearing to consider fixing the water and wastewater standby or availability charges. And this any increases, it's just that the number's been kind of off. He did his annual financial report that's required for consideration today. It's attached. And then there will be the final adoption. Actually, when you do this resolution today, it directs staff to notify the affected property owners. And the final adoption of the charges will take place after the notice public hearing on May 26th.
Okay. Any questions of the general manager? So this is just a receive and...
No, you have to do this. Yeah, you have to open the hearing.
That's right. It is a public hearing. So I'll open it for public comment. All right, come forward a minute.
I'm sorry, I missed. Who did you say did the, who prepared the report for the, with the financial information? I'm sorry.
This is Al Labossiere, CPA, finance manager.
Okay, so in last month's meeting, we were paying the Wallace Group to do something for this. Did they, are they doing the notification?
The Wallace Group is taking care of the notices and then the assessments once all this process gets completed.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. I appreciate that.
Any further public testimony? If not, then I'll close the public hearing, bring it back to the board for discussion. Any discussion? So I need a motion that we, what, make the appropriate findings and adopt Resolution 14-2011.
So moved.
A motion?
Second.
I have a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. You don't need a roll. Okay. Moves us on to number 9A. Madam General Manager, you want to propose that?
Yeah, this is an item that was actually a request by you as Board President, and that is a discussion by the board members with regard to rescinding a previously approved Resolution 02-2011, wherein you all agreed to an early payoff of the Oshkosh Capital lease for the CCSD fire engine. And that would be, you know, and you'll see in the fiscal impact section
that felt that we had funds that we could apply to this one rather than just leave them in leaf. But we have some real estate negotiations that we're involved in right now. And this concept here was to transfer money that wasn't earning us anything in leaf to something of value. I would think that we'd be in the same position if we transferred money from leaf to, say, like real estate negotiations. That was the reason to put it on for discussion. We can do whatever the feeling of the board is.
I felt that making the original decision was kind of a balanced one. I don't think anybody was really urgently trying to spend that money at the time. We were already going to move it out until June or something because we didn't have to pay it off right away. I think your position is prudent, and I think that I would go along with the rescinding that payoff.
Fine.
Director D'Amico?
Well, I don't like to revisit decisions I've made that made sense when they made sense. It's still the same sense. It's money. It's real money. I don't know anybody who, if they can do anything, keeps money in a bank and getting 0.4% if they can get something better. And that's what this is. I don't know, with the amount we have in reserves to be paying the percentage that we're paying, and that's what the math was done, 30,000 is 30,000. There's your 14,000 for the, that's two times the otter, and you were right away, oh, we should support that. So you can't get money out of nowhere, and the point is, it doesn't change the fact that it's a saving. And if there's other things, if what we decide can't stand on its own because we spent this, how much is it? The payout is
$200,000.
If that $200,000 means the difference between what we make a decision on something else, then the other decision maybe isn't the right decision. And regardless of what happens with the fire department, what we're doing, and we're going to have a fire department, whoever's the people up there, it's still our truck. It's an asset for the community. And more and more people, I think, are buying things and get away from debt.
Here. And again, I don't have a problem if we simply go ahead and pay it off. We still have the asset. So,
And it's an inextricable lead. I mean, it's not something, it's not like
you know, painting something or fixing something that you want to make it look nice. It's our fire.
I think you made a good argument.
Well, on its own, it's a no-brainer. Yeah. You know, 0.4% versus 5 or 5.5%. The other reason was the real estate transaction and what it would take, and where should the reserve be for the emergency situation? I never did have a strong opinion one way or other. I think as mentioned,
I would love to have the president agendize that issue in the future.
We can surely do
because
that.
I think and that's why I mean,
that might be a policy setting type of
thing. Exactly. That's my point. That's a great question.
At what percent of expenses should we hold in reserve at all
right,
times?
Right. Well, the rainy day fund, you know, which is really the flood fund.
Flood.
Yeah.
But
there's numbers, but they vary all over the map for recommendations.
Yeah. Well,
percent of. Revenue and
we
so
we have the, you know, the community. That's what somebody said. You know, that's what we're here to do.
Yeah,
we can have a workshop. We can have multiple meetings so that people can give their input. But I personally think that people would like to see us save money. But then again, why not earn?
If it's
why overspend for an item when you don't have to?
Right, as long as it's prudent.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One decision at a time.
Yep.
There's nothing more prudent than paying off your fire trucks so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, we need fire trucks.
And then you need fire trucks.
I like that argument. Yes. On the other hand, the time of low interest rates, both from vendors and to people that are saving money, is going to change drastically, over the next year or two.
Yeah.
Drastically.
But and that's why one of the issues I was trying to push with the Stewart Street tank, the pumping station.
We need to
start knowing what these capital are, because the public is going to say, the community is going to say, wait a second, we got money to make, shouldn't we spend it? Well, now you have to say, well, no, we want to keep a reserve, and that's where the issue of what you pay, because I would never personally would never believe in pay as you go. First of all, unless we can find all the people who pay cash for their cars and pay cash for their houses, that's pay-go. But in reality, when you have an asset that you're going to last 50, then when you have no lay funds, and we do get the, whether it's an earthquake, a fire, some issue, or we need a treatment plant, something really breaks down. Now you can lay out a...
Now we got to sell the vets hall.
No, you didn't hear that, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry's
I think
not here.
The other thing
there he is.
That's an issue that maybe we ought to talk about, and we can talk about it, I think, once we start seeing the scope of our capital outlay in the next couple of years. Okay. We should really say how much of the LAFE is a reserve against operational issues, about major maintenance issues, and then maybe that'll free something up so that when we go to the 218 process, we're not asking everybody to take complete burden of that work.
I agree with that, and Mr. Gressens didn't bring that capital projects list, and I think I suggest that you do that next month and don't leave that out of the report.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the general opinion then that we do nothing on this issue and just go ahead and
stay where we are?
We've already authorized the ability to pay that off, and I guess that's due today or tomorrow?
May 19th.
Well, May 19th, yeah.
So we don't even have to move anything.
Good.
Go forward. If one. All right. That handles 9B. And item 10 is adjourn to closed session. We will adjourn to closed session. You need to read the items that will appear on closed session.
May I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow's meeting at 5 o'clock, will that be recorded for television?
No.
Thank you.
That means we'll be discussing two items in closed session. Both of them are conference with real property negotiators. One is with negotiating party Bud Meters, and the other is with the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo. Okay. The two APNs are on the agenda.
Do we want to just do that right here?
We schedule it back at the office.
Okay. Back at the office. Okay.